welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Lefevre. Sitcoms coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear the Abbott and Costello Show from 1944 with one of their famous skits. But right now, it's The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, an NBC broadcast from October 9th, 1953, called Too Many Ties.
Silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of International Sterling, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
A man's home is his castle, and his closet is his sanctum sanctorum. Or, as it's known to his wife,
a horrible mess.
So, whenever Ozzie goes out for any length of time, Harriet attempts to bring order among the golf clubs, the sport coats, the fishing tackles, the slacks, the bowling ball, the shoes, and the photography equipment.
David, would you lift this golf bag out of the closet, please?
Sure, Ma.
Mom, the cleaner just brought 2 o'clock suits back.
Oh, fine. Where'll I hang them?
Well, if you move the fishing rod over there, and move the tennis rackets over in the corner, you'll be able to roll the bowling ball up front so there's plenty of room for the photography equipment.
Yes, but where'll I hang the suits?
Is there any room in your closet, Mom?
No, I'm minding the ping pong table for your father.
Where is Pop?
Well, he went down to the Emporium to look for a little throw rug for the hall.
Hasn't he found one yet?
Wow, look at all these ties. They're hanging all over the place.
If you could get rid of them, you might have some more room.
Ricky, you have just made what I consider a splendid suggestion.
Would you care to shake hands?
Put it there, boy.
Well, what'll Tom say when he sees a lot of his ties missing?
Oh, he'll never notice. He has a couple of favorite ties he wears all the time, and the rest just wait around hoping to come back into style.
Let's weed them out.
All right. But since every man is entitled to a trial by jury, I'll hold them up one by one and we'll vote on them.
Who's going to take the rap for this?
Me. Now, let's start out with this pile on the hanger. First, we have this black tie with a red rose on it, partly covered with a chocolate ice cream spot. How do you vote, yay or nay?
Nay.
Oh, now a 4th of July special. Red, white, and blue candy stripes.
Nay.
Aye.
We've got a hung jury here.
I think it's real jazzy.
Yeah, if you want to attract a lot of attention.
Well, I guess it's up to me to cast the deciding vote. I want to be fair to your father, so I'll vote nay. Now, here's one.
Wow, that's pretty gruesome.
Oh, please, let's give it a fair trial.
Nay.
That's fair enough. Next time. This is a hand-painted job. Green, orange, and red swirls on a yellowish background.
Nay.
Out it goes.
Hey, wait a minute. That's the tie Grandma Hilliard gave Pop for Christmas.
Uh-oh, we better have a recount. All those who believe this is a horrible tie, but it's nice to keep peace in the family, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Good. Now, we have here a shot. And this one is a purple...
Nay.
And this one
nay.
Is...
Nay.
Nay.
Nay. Nay. Oh, hi, Thorny.
Hello, huh? Been downtown?
Yeah.
Still looking for that braided colonial rug, huh?
Yeah, I saw three or four, but they're all machine-made. Nothing like that one of yours. Say, Thorny, would you consider selling that...
Selling that? Oh, absolutely not. It's an heirloom, you know. Made by the Vermont branch of the family. Oh, they don't make them like that anymore.
What is it, a lost art or something? What's happened to the American craftsman?
Maybe your subscription ran out.
You sure you wouldn't sell it, Thorny, not even to a friend, a neighbor?
I couldn't, Oz. See, it's been handed down for generations.
Well, Well, as long as I can't inherit one, I guess I'll just have to keep looking and see if I can buy one.
Yeah. Too bad there's never been any talent in your family.
Harriet?
I'm in the bedroom, dear. Did you find the rose?
No. I sure wish I could get Thorny to sell us the one he has. Harriet, what are you doing with all these neckties?
I just weeded out the old ones I didn't think you wanted.
Well, you weren't going to throw these away, were you?
Well, that was the idea, but you came home too soon.
But these are my best ties.
You've got hundreds, but you only wear the brown one and the blue one.
Well, yes, but I've got to go through all the others to make sure these are the two I want to wear.
You don't wear any of these. It's silly to clutter up your closet.
All right, if you insist, throw this one away.
Well, that's the one my mother gave you for Christmas.
Oh. It is kind of attractive when you look at it carefully.
Why don't you ever wear it?
Oh, I will one of these days. You're throwing away a lot of nice ties. For instance, what's wrong with this one? Look at the beautiful design.
That's chocolate ice cream.
Oh!
Mom, the laundry man's here.
Oh, thanks, David.
You're putting your old ties back in the closet, huh, Pa?
Yes, I am, Dave. Now, why your mother wanted to get rid of these? They were all practically brand new.
Well, here, Pop, you drop one.
Oh.
Rutgers Campus Haberdashery.
Oh, I keep that for sentimental reasons. You can understand that.
Oh, sure, I can understand why you keep all your old ties around. The real normal, neurotic thing.
Neurotic?
Yeah, some people save string.
David, I'm just saving a few old ties.
You save newspapers, too, and old cork.
Well, you never know when you're going to need them.
Sure, when you get older, it gives you a sense of security to have a bunch of your old junk around.
David, it isn't that at all.
Why don't you throw it away?
Well, I just like to keep old things.
That's what I mean. Did you happen to read about those crazy brothers in New York?
What crazy brothers?
Well, they had this mansion just crammed full of old newspapers and clothes and rags and all kinds of junk.
Now, David, I haven't filled up the house with junk. If I wanted to throw these ties away, I could, and it wouldn't bother me at all.
Why don't you?
Well,
see, Pop, it's got you.
Say, Thorny.
Oh, hi, Art. Hey, what are you doing, selling neckties?
No. I was cleaning out my closet, and I saw these ties, and I said to myself, why don't you take all these beautiful ties and give them to poor old Thorny?
That's what you said to yourself?
Yeah.
Look, Oz, why don't you just throw them away instead of trying to palm them off on me?
I'm not trying to palm them off. I just thought you'd like them. Hey, look at this one. Pure silk. But this tie must have cost at least $12.50.
$12.50? Let me see that. Yeah, it ain't bad.
You hang that up in the locker room at the golf club with the label side showing, you'd make a big impression.
Yeah, come to think of it, I saw it in your locker, and I was impressed. Okay, I'll take it.
No, wait a second, Tony. Don't go away. Yeah. Yeah, here's one that looks swell with your new suit.
You might be right at that.
And now this one will go perfect with your sport coat.
The green one?
No, the blue one. You can wear this with the green one. Here, take them, Thorny.
Gee, thanks, Art.
No, wait a minute. You've got a brown top coat, haven't you? Yeah, this is just the thing to wear with it.
Well, yes,
take them all, Thorny. I'm sure you'll be able to use them. I'm sure that if you ever have anything to give away, like, a braided colonial rug or anything, I'm sure you'd give it to me.
Yes, sir. If I ever decide to give it away, I'll give it to you.
Oh.
But I don't think I'll ever decide to give it away.
I talked to him too, Mom.
Oh, it's no use, David. When your father makes up his mind to keep something, nothing will change him. He's too stubborn.
Who's too stubborn?
If the necktie fits, wear it.
All right, I'm afraid you're going to find out that the longer you live with me, the more of a paradox I become.
I'm sure of it. What does it mean?
Would you mind accompanying me to my closet?
For what purpose?
Merely to demonstrate how wrong you are about me.
Gladly.
Thank you. Now we're approaching a closet door. A little while ago, this closet was bulging with ties. We open the door, and what do we see?
A closet bulging with ties.
Now, just a minute. Where did these ties come from?
Don't ask me. You're the paradox around here.
But, Harriet, I just got rid of all these ties.
How deep did you bury them?
I didn't bury them.
Well, that explains it. They crawled back home to die.
Wait a minute. These aren't my ties. I'd never pick out a purple tie with green, brown, and blue stripes and a girl in a pink bikini bathing suit.
Too conservative, huh?
I tell you, they're not mine.
Hi, Pop. Did you see Mr. Thornberry?
Yes, I did. Harriet, somebody
must...
He was
over here looking for you a half hour ago.
What did he want?
He wanted to thank you again for those ties you gave him.
Oh, you see, I did give them away.
He said you were so nice about it that he wanted to do something nice for you. So he filled up your closet with all his old ties.
Just look at that closet. What a mess. Full of Thorny's cast-off ties. If I'd known he was going to act this way, I'd never given him my cast-off ties.
Well, I must say it seems kind of fair.
Fair? Have you looked at these? At least Thorny can wear the ties I gave him.
Sure, if he didn't mind making a spectacle of himself. I think you could wear one or two of these.
Out of the whole mess, the striped one is the only one I'd put around my neck.
Well, that's one of Catherine's belts. I better give that back to her.
Fine thing when a man's wife has better taste in belts than he has in ties.
Well, nobody can say that about you. You've got much better taste in belts than you have in ties.
Glad to hear you say that.
You won't be after you think it over.
Well, I'm going to get rid of these, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, Ozzie, you can't just throw them away. It'd hurt Thorny's feelings.
Well, what'll I do with them?
Well, maybe you can give them back to him. In a nice way.
Oh. I don't know.
Well, you conned him into taking those ties of yours.
Well, yes, that's right.
After all, the ties were given you in friendship, and you're returning them in friendship.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Well, wipe the scowl off your face and take them back.
Aren't those the ties I left for you?
Yes, they are. Thorny.
No. Don't thank me.
No. Thorny, I just can't...
I know. You can't find the words to express your appreciation. I couldn't find the words to express my thoughts about the ties you gave me.
You see, that's it exactly. I got to thinking and I said to myself, you can't take Thorny's favorite tie. It isn't fair.
Oh, but it is, Oz. After those ties you gave me.
No. Thorny, I want you to take these back.
Oh, I wouldn't hear of it, Oz.
I can't let you make this sacrifice.
But what kind of a friend would I be if I weren't willing to put myself out for you?
But you don't have to.
But I want to. Those ties are a symbol of what I think of you.
They can't be.
But they are, Oz. See, every time you put one of them around your neck, I know you'll think of me.
I will, but why can't we be friends?
Well, I guess I understand.
You do? Well, then here.
No.
Well, you said you understood.
I do. You're just too proud to wear my old tie.
No, it's not that at all.
Oh, yes, it is. Don't spare my feelings, Ozzie. You feel superior to me.
No, I don't.
No reason why you should, but nevertheless, it hurts you in here. That you, with your fine home and your dollar cigars, have to take these ties from me, who has so little.
Oh, stop it.
But my conscience is clear. I sacrificed. I gave you these. Heaven knows if I'll ever be able to buy ties like them again, but I didn't hesitate. I gave them to you. And now you want to throw them back in my face. Oz, if you don't mind, I'm going in the house. I wouldn't like you to see me cry.
But Thorny?
Harriet, I'm really ashamed of myself. I didn't know I was going to hurt his feelings.
Oh, well, I guess you'd better keep the ties then.
Oh, sure. After all, he didn't try to return mine. Why should I return his?
I agree with you.
It's not right to break up our friendship over a thing like this.
Of course not.
Even though he did give me a bunch of broken down ties in exchange for some good ones, I'm not too proud to wear his cast off. After all, he's not too proud to use my lawnmower, play with my golf clubs, or drive my car.
No, he'd even smoke your cigars if you insisted.
Yeah, he's a real pal.
Hi, Pop.
Oh, hi, Rick. What have you got there?
Mr. Thornberry gave them to me.
Well, those are the ties I gave him.
Yeah, he was just going to throw them in the trash can.
What's this?
He cut off the expensive labels and kept them.
Now, there's a pal for you. Putting on a big act about hurt feelings, crying crocodile tears, making me feel like a heel, and as soon as I turn my back, he dumps my ties in the trash can. How can you explain that?
Maybe they wouldn't go down the garbage disposal.
Well, he isn't going to get away with it. See, give me those.
Now, just a minute, dear.
Harriet, I was willing to wear his ties to make him feel good. In return, he throws mine in the garbage disposal.
Trash can.
Just give me the ties. Gonna make him take them if I have to ram them down his throat. Hello, Emporium. Rug department, please.
Ozzy.
Just a second, Harriet. Hello? Is this the rug department? Well, last week I was talking to a lady, say about the 50, rather stout, with blonde hair, kind of a bottle blonde, I guess you'd say, rather heavily made up. Oh, that was you. Oh. about these colonial braided rugs. And you don't expect it to get any. Well, thank you.
Still no luck, huh?
No.
Well, don't sit down here in the living room. I've got the vacuum today. Why don't you go out in the backyard?
No, I'd rather not.
Still not talking to Thorny?
No, and I don't intend to.
You know, it's your backyard, dear. You don't have to talk to him. Sit in the garage.
The car is in there.
Well, move it out. I'm sure it won't talk to Thorny either.
All right, I'll go outside.
My buddy, my buddy. Oh, good morning, Mr. Nelson.
Good morning, Mr. Thornberry.
Nobody.
Mr. Thornberry, would you mind? I'd like to read my paper in silence.
Friendship, friendship.
Thorny, please.
Sorry. That wasn't Mia.
I know.
You want me to throw a rock at him?
Thank you, no.
Well, would it disturb you too much if I beat this rug a little bit?
No, go right ahead. Hey, that's not the rug you have in your living room, is it?
No, same kind. Beautiful piece of work, isn't it? I didn't think there was another one like it. I found it up in the attic the other day. I know you've been looking for one like this. I was going to give it to you. Before our late unpleasantness.
You know, Thorny, it's silly for us not to be friends.
Sure it is, Oz, but that's the way it goes.
The phony. Let's let bygones be bygones.
Okay with me, I.
Let's shake hands on it.
Okay. There.
We're friends now.
Friends.
Thorny, you mentioned something about the rug you were going to give me.
You mean before the late unpleasantness?
Well, that's all forgotten now.
The scars are still there. Take this little beauty in the house and try to find a place for it in the service porch or somewhere.
Now, wait a minute, Thorny. Now, I realize your feelings have been hurt, but just how much?
About $25 worth.
Well, you know my feelings have been hurt, too.
All right, you get a $2.50 credit for your feelings.
I was hurt at least $5 worth.
Okay, it's yours for $20 because you're my friend. But I hope the little old lady from Vermont who made this, wherever she is, never finds out that I sold our old family heirloom.
Harriet, come here quick.
What is it? Oh, you got the rug?
Yes, sir. Just look at it.
Oh, it's beautiful. Where'd you get it?
Oh, I kind of hate myself for it, but I practically stole it from Thorny. $20.
Thorny didn't sell you the one in their living room, did he?
No, he found this one up in the attic. It's probably older than the other one, but look at the way it's held up. Look how bright the colors still are. And the way those old rags are braided together. Purple, green, those red, white, and blue candy stripes. Are my old necktie.
And here's the black one with the red rose on it and the chocolate ice cream spot. And here's one of Thorny's.
That's impossible. This was made by a little old lady from Vermont, some relative of Thorny's.
Well, Catherine Thornberry's from Vermont.
She is?
She's a relative of Thorny's, by marriage.
But it's handmade.
Sure, by Catherine. There's a little gadget you can buy for braiding old stockings and rags and neckties into genuine antique rugs.
Well, that Thorny has swindled me, $20. And the nerve of him calling his wife an old lady.
Oh, now, wait a minute. It's cheap at that price. This solves your whole necktie problem. When you get tired of wearing them, braid them and wipe your feet on them. Going to fight again.
Of course not, Harry. You don't think I deliberately jip you out of $20, do you?
No, not if you could get 25.
Now, don't be too hasty, Oz. There are lots of ways to spend money, you know. Here, Oz, with my compliments, a beautiful necktie. Look at the label, huh?
Oh. Why, this is the most expensive shop in town. Gee, thanks, Thorny.
The way I feel, nothing's too good for a friend. Want to walk down to the cigar store with me?
Oh, sure. Oh, would you put this tie away carefully, Harriet?
All right, dear. Hi, Mom. Hey, what are you doing with Will Thornberry's tie?
Will? Well, that's the one I gave him for his birthday.
Yeah, somebody saw it on a new label. Boy, look, you like your father to go around the house whistling and happy, don't you?
Sure, Mom.
Let's say no more about this.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 9th, 1953, on NBC. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. And now a mix of situation comedy and skits on The Abbott and Costello Show. This episode would mark the first of their 1944-45 season, taking a summer break in June of 1944, with the last episode featuring their famous Who's on First routine. They will actually repeat that in this following broadcast with a twist. Enjoy it next from October 5th, 1944.
to the danceable rhythms of Freddie Rich and his orchestra, the sweet and swingy songs of Connie Haynes, and that very familiar roly-poly figure whose sweet, mellow voice whispers... The Los Angeles Railroad Station, back home again. Those zestful zanies and screwy stars, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Hollywood, last stop, all out for Hollywood.
P. Abbott, oh boy, Abbott.
Where are you?
Here I am, here I am.
Oh,
hello, Bud.
Welcome, Costello, welcome home. Boy, it's good to see you. How was your train trip?
Oh, Abbott, what a trip.
What do you mean?
I was seasick all the way from Chicago.
Seasick?
Yeah.
Seasick? How could you be seasick on a train?
Oh, I was sitting between two waves.
Well, everybody's glad to see you back, Costello. Hey, look. Look at those five beautiful girls over there waving their handkerchiefs at you.
Oh, they're waving their handkerchiefs at me?
Yeah.
That's the first clean laundry I've seen in 2 weeks. You thought I lost my place, huh?
I beg your pardon. Are you Mr. Costello?
That's me.
Allow me to officially welcome you back to Hollywood. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Who are you, the mayor?
No, just another bum.
You know, it's nice to be home among your friends.
Yes, yes, yes. But say, tell me, Costello... How did you enjoy your visit up to your Uncle Marty's farm?
Oh, it was great, Abbott. I spent the whole summer taking care of the pigs. Those little pigs loved me like a little brother.
Well, I can understand that.
Gee, Abbott, those little pigs were cute. But the big pig was afraid of them.
The big pig was afraid of the little pigs?
Yeah, the little pigs used to chase the big pig all around the pen.
No.
And then until he fell down.
Yes.
And then the little pigs would jump on the big pig and chew all the buttons off his vest.
Look, Lou, how about the crops? Did you have anything to do with the crops?
Oh, I shot crops every night.
No. No. I mean, did you help with the planting? Did you sow the seed?
Did I what?
I said, did you sow the seed?
I didn't even know it was ripped.
Wait a minute. When I say sow, I don't mean sow, S-E-W. I mean sow, S-O-W. Sow.
For what?
Sow the seed. You see, you've
sow
got...
Sow the seed.
Yeah, you've got to sow the seed before you reap it. You sow it first and reap it later.
Now, what kind of talk is that? I used to reap my seed first and my mother would sow it later.
Look, Costello, when I say reap, I don't mean reap like rip when you rip. I mean reap like you reap when you sow.
When you say reap like you reap when you rip, you don't mean rip like you rip when you reap. You mean reap like you reap when you sow. So?
Now you've got it.
Now I've got it.
Now you've got it.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Look, Costello. Look, I'll try to explain. I'll try to explain what sow the seed means. Suppose you were planting tomatoes.
For what?
Tomatoes.
Oh, why do I have to wait till tomato? Why can't I eat them and plant them today?
All right. So you're planting tomatoes today. Now, when they grow up, what do you do with them?
I eat them.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You can't eat all of them.
Well, why not? They're my tomatoes. I planted them. I'm going to eat them.
Now, wait a minute. You can't eat
all... They're my tomatoes.
You can't eat all those tomatoes alone.
Well, I don't eat them alone.
Oh, that's better.
I put salt and pepper on them.
Look, you dummy. You've got a whole feed of tomatoes. You can't possibly eat them all, so you eat what you can, and what you can't eat, you can.
Well, sure. I mean, any... Could I have that again?
Certainly.
Only this time, spread it out.
All right, look.
Let me get a good look at what you're saying.
All right. Now, look.
Make it good, because we got stiff competition.
All right. Look. You've got all those tomatoes. Now you eat what you can, and what you can't eat, you can.
I can what?
What you can.
I can what I can't.
That's right.
Look, I'm willing to forget the whole thing, brother.
No, you don't. I'm trying to tell you that you don't eat...
Let's go back to Soda Reap.
Now, listen. Wait a minute. Now, we're not going back. We'll stick to the tomatoes. I'm just trying to tell you that you can't eat all the tomatoes. You can only eat what you can, and what you can't eat, you can.
You know, there's only one way to settle the whole thing.
How is that?
We'll throw away all the tomatoes and eat the can.
Costello, you're impossible. But let's forget about it. Come on, let's... Hey, wait a minute. By the way, did you make any money on the farm?
Yeah, here's my paycheck. $75.
Hey, that's fine. Just give me the check, and I'll sign your name on the back and deposit the check in my bank.
Oh, you can't do that. That's against the law. You can't sign my name on a check. What? That's froggery.
Nah, froggery.
You.
Yeah, I know.
Froggery.
No, you mean...
You go to jail and leap.
No, you mean forgery. Forge. Forge.
Oh, forge.
Yes.
No, that's what me and my girl made last night.
You made forge?
We did, too.
You made forge?
We made forge last night.
What are you talking about?
We made chocolate-covered forge.
Oh, please, talk sense.
With walnuts.
Look, all right, look. Listen, Lou, I have a perfect right to sign your check. Now, as your partner, remember, I have power of attorney.
Well, remind me to have the power shut off.
Now, wait. Give me that check and I'll cash it and take my share.
I wouldn't do that if I was you, Abbott.
Why not?
Because if you take my money, you're going to wind up in a can. And when you're in a can, you can't eat and you can't can. Not even what you can while you're in a can. Because while you're in a can, you're in a fine fix, Abbott. So help me and please. Abbott, where are we going? Where are you taking me?
Look, Costello, well, you've got $75 you made on the farm. We're going to find out what people are going to buy when the war is over.
Yeah.
And we'll invest your money in the thing that everybody wants the most.
How can you invest money in necking?
Oh! Come on, look. We'll make a house-to-house canvas.
Canvas?
Yes.
You mean we're going to make tents for people to live in?
Of course not. People don't live in tents.
How about the people on 10th Street?
No. Never mind. Hey, we'll start with this big house right here. Now, ring the bell and ask them what they want to buy most when the war is over.
But, Abbott, look, there's a sign on the door.
What does it say?
It says, swing shift welder, day sleeper, do not disturb. This means you, police. I wouldn't mind it, but he's got police all underlined.
Oh, come. Pay no attention to the sign. Go ahead and ring the bell.
I know, but I...
Ring the bell.
Okay. Well, no answer. He ain't home. Let's go.
Come here. Go ahead and ring that bell. Go on.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Will I get over here?
Well, Blubberhead, what do you want?
I
want
to go home to my mama.
Good afternoon, sir. We'd like...
Afternoon? Do you mean you woke me up in the middle of the day? Can't you read that sign? Why, you fathead, I got a good notion to break every bone in your body.
Just a minute, brother. I dare you to strike my little friend.
Yeah, you heard him.
Yeah.
I dare you to strike his little friend.
Yeah.
I'm his little friend. Go on, strike me. What am I saying?
All right, Lodhead, you asked for it.
Abbott, I think I'll mark him down as doubtful.
Oh. Come on, pick yourself up, you coward. Hey, wait a minute. Look, there's a kindly-looking woman going into the house next door. Go ahead. Now, speak to her.
How do you do, madam?
Well, stand my girdle and call me anytime. It's a man.
Where?
Oh, you come in, Mr. Costello. You cute little snuggle bug. I've always been one of your greatest admirers. Oh, you don't know what seeing you on the screen can do to the heart of a young girl.
But I wasn't on the screen when you were a young girl. They used magic lanterns.
No, quiet.
Magic lanterns.
All right, quiet, please.
What do you know?
All right, quiet, Costello. Lady, we'd just like to find out what you are going to do when the war is over.
Why wait till the war is over? Boy.
Look, lady, we just came here to ask you one question.
The answer is yes.
Abbott, let's go back to the welder's house. That's the first time I ever slammed the door in my own face. And listen, Abbott, I ain't knocking on any more doors.
No, don't be silly. Remember, Costello, we still don't know what to invest your money in. Let's try one more house. Come on.
Aye, Rancho Grande, I always come in handy.
Hey, look, Costello, it's our old friend Kitzel.
Well, could be, yes. Well, what can I do for you, my happy chappy?
My friend Costello here is looking for a good place to invest his money for post-war security.
Oh, now you're talking my language, if that's possible. For $100, I'll take you in my clothing business as a senior partner.
But I've only got $75.
Come in, Junior.
Just a minute, Mr. Kitzel. First, we've got to know what kind of clothes you make.
Well, now, right here over my arm, I got a coat that I just now finished for Fieber McGee. And you know something? With this suit, I'm giving you free of charge 3 pairs of suspenders.
I don't wear suspenders.
Well, how do you keep up your pants?
My stomach establishes a beachhead, and the rear guard holds it.
Oh, come on, Costello. We're wasting time.
Just a second. Just a second now, boys. You haven't seen all my stock yet. Why, I got here toothpicks, candlesticks, and all kinds of knock-knicks, freezers, tweezers, and powder for your beezers, doorknobs, corn cups, and rubber plugs for bathtubs. Not to mention
sickles, pickles, flax, tacks, the mirrors with cracks, glue, stew, and poo-poo to you.
And the dawn comes up like thunder from the landlord.
Well, here's lovely Connie Haynes to sing one of the season's most popular tunes, Swingin' on a Star.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. He kicks up at anything he hears. His back is brawny and his brain is weak. Just plain stupid with a stubborn streak. And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule. Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a pig? A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He's got no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude. But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig. Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a fish? Fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only sport. Though he's slippery, he still gets caught. But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. And all the monkeys are in the zoo. Every day you meet quite a few. So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You can be swinging, swinging on a star.
Freddie Rich and the orchestra played Jerome Kern's lovely hit song, Long Ago and Far Away.
Costello, Costello, will you settle down and go to sleep? What's the matter with you?
I don't know what I'm...
What's the matter with you?
Huh?
What's the matter?
I can't sleep, Abbott. I'm worried about how to invest my money.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Just look at you. You're letting this get on your nerves. Your eyes are all bloodshot.
Oh, they are? Yeah. Give me the mirror.
Hey, what do you mean, Abbott? My eyes ain't all bloodshot.
They're not?
No, only the whites.
Listen to me, Costello. There's only one way to settle this. Tomorrow morning, we're going down to the bank and invest your $75... in war bonds.
I got enough war bonds now.
You can't have enough bonds, Costello. Bonds mean
security for you and your family. Just think, you put $75 in a bond now, and in 10 years, it's worth $100.
Yeah, but I think you got something.
Sure.
I'm going to go right down and buy bonds with the dough.
That's a way to talk. And now you can go back to sleep with tranquility.
Go back to sleep with tranquility?
Yes.
What's the matter? You want to sleep with me anymore?
No.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. I'll buy those bonds. I'll have a lot of money in 1954.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you into the future. The time is 10 years hence, the year 1954. The scene is the futuristic, prefabricated, air-conditioned home of Lou Costello. The mother speaks.
Cupie, darling, tune in on the television set. Your father and your Uncle Bud are on the air tonight.
Archie! Do I have to listen to them dopes again?
That's no way to talk about your Uncle Bud. Now, go ahead and turn on the program.
Good evening, folks. This is Ken Niles, bringing you the 197,000th broadcast of the current 1954 series, featuring those two old jolly men, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. Why, look at you, Costello. Where have you been? Talk sense. Do you realize I'm trying to organize a baseball team?
Ain't you got that team together yet?
Yep. I finally got them together.
Boy, Jiminy.
Yep, but the players nowadays surely have funny names. For instance, who's on first?
Who is?
Yes.
Yes, what?
No, what's on second?
Why did you turn off the program?
Every week, the same thing. They haven't changed their jokes in 10 years. Gee, Mom, it's 6 o'clock. Hey, Mom, it's 6 o'clock. The planes are coming in from town.
There goes Mr. Sherman, the banker.
That's my pop.
Oh, I'll get you both, hidden swim.
Come on. Here comes somebody down the street from the landing on the road. Oh, it's your Uncle Bud. Hello, Uncle Bud. Where's Lou?
Oh, he's working late at the office. His work has been piling up on him.
But I thought he just hired that new red-headed stenographer.
Yeah, that's why his work is piling up. Whatever happened to Ted Collins?
Will you be quiet? Oh, Uncle Bud, I hope you're staying for dinner.
Yes, I think I'd better. After all, it takes me 10 minutes to fly from Hollywood to Denver.
10 minutes? That's why you get Uncle Bud for buying that used rocket ship for months. What are we having for dinner tonight, Mommy?
Porterhouse steak broiled in creamery butter.
Holy mackerel. Again? Can't we never get nothing to eat but steak and butter and butter and steak? It's driving me crazy. Why can't we have some of those new beans with zippers?
Come in.
Good evening. Is this the futuristic prefabricated air-conditioned residence of Mr. and Mrs. Costello?
Yep.
I am Mr. Blank from the bank.
Blank.
Back in 1944, Mr. Abbott and Mr. Costello purchased a number of war bonds. Those bonds have matured now, and I'm here to pay you off in cash.
Oh, isn't that wonderful, Uncle Bud?
It sure is.
Yeah, Uncle Bud. Now you can get that mink toupee you always wanted.
Now, if you'll just sign the bonds on the back, I'll give you your money.
There's my signature.
There you are. There's mine. And I'll also sign for Costello.
That's robbery. So my old man says.
And now, as you remember, the little boy here is the beneficiary on these bonds, so we'll have to have his signature.
Oh, of course. Cupie, darling.
Cut out the mush. I won't sign.
What?
I'm not going to sign.
You won't sign? Yeah. How dare you say such a thing? The way you've been acting lately, I don't know what's gotten into you. What's the matter with you?
Oh, I'm a bad boy.
Oh, you just wait till your father gets here. Oh, Uncle Bud, snap on the peekoscope screen fuse at the back door.
Well, all I can see is the garbage can.
That's my pop. hello, dear. Hello, Heather.
Hello, dear.
What an exciting day I had at the stock market.
Yeah.
7 up is up to 7 3/4.
Well,
I near got up with that myself that time, didn't I?
Yes. Yeah, just in time, Costello. This man here is here to pay us the money on those war bonds that I talked you into buying 10 years ago.
And your son, Cupid, refuses to sign the bond.
Oh, yeah? Yeah! Oh, yeah? Yeah! Oh, yeah? Yeah! What a stubborn kid. I might as well talk to myself.
Lou, why don't you take Cupy into the bedroom and give him a sound thrashing?
Oh, I can't do that. I can't whip my son.
Why not?
I'm playing both parts. And in one part, it might hurt.
Here, use my revolver. You know the old saying, spare the rod and spoil the child.
Why, you people can yap all night, but I ain't gonna sign no bonds until I know what my cut is.
Your daddy wants the money for you. He wants you to have a career and a fine education.
I don't care what... Excuse me. I don't want no education. I don't want no education. I want to be my father.
I don't know what part.
Look, Hilpie. If you'll sign the bonds, we'll give you all the money.
Well, I wasn't gonna. But you talked me into it.
Well, folks, you've made a wise decision in turning the money over to the boy. Because you know, if anything should happen to the little fellow, all the money goes to the survivors. Get it? Well, good night, folks. Good night, you little...
Well, Lou, you heard what the man said. If anything happens to Cupie, all the money goes to the survivors. Do you get it?
Yeah, I get it.
And I get it.
And I think I'm gonna get it, too! Let me out of it!
Sings the blues. Tess's torch song.
Here is a story about a gal. Folks called a torchy Tess. Because she trusted, her heart got busted. Love made her life a mess. I had a man. He was a good man. That is, you see, what I mean is I thought he was a good man. I had a friend, and she was a good friend. I told my friend about my man, 'cause I thought she was a good friend. Life was sweet. Baby, didn't I have my man? Welcome to me. Then the fireworks began. Ain't got no man. Ain't got no friend. I'll bet you can guess just exactly what happened. That was the end of my friend, the end of my man, and almost the end of me.
Thank you. Here's Abbott and Costello for a final word.
Thanks, Ken. Good night, folks.
Good night, folks. And I want to say good night to little Eunice in the hospital in Pittsburgh. Get well quickly, honey. Get well for Abbott and I.
The Abbott and Costello Show on Tuned to Yesterday from October 5th, 1944 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Lipionier. It's been a pleasure.